Thank you, Pastor Janet. Song was written for mothers, and that's a beautiful song. The words are straight from the Word of God, and the great thing is that it'll be released soon on a new album coming out. Hallelujah! And I'm excited about that. Are we ready to go? Are you got your seatbelts on? Fashioning your seatbelts and getting ready to receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm here representing the mothers today. So my message is from a mother's point of view, I guess, if you can call it that. But it's also not just for the mothers, it's for everybody. Family to God is very important. That's why during Mother's Day, not only do we celebrate the work that the mothers do, but also remembering family and what she does in the family. Today is Mother's Day. Hallelujah. And I'm just excited about celebrating it with all the mothers today around the world that are watching today, and those that are in our fellowship, and those of you that are following us. I want to say good morning to you all. Bula Vinaka to all the families in Fiji, all the mothers in Fiji, all the mothers in the Philippines, all the mothers all over the world, in New Zealand, in Melbourne, Sydney, Australia, all over the country. We want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. What a blessed day for you today. May you be blessed. May your husbands be a blessing to you and your children be a blessing to you this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the word before I bring the encouragement to you this morning. Father, I thank you. Papa God, you are Almighty God. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Lord, your word is always guide us. Your word is a principle in our lives that guides us every day. Father, that we do not live in ignorance, Lord, of your word, but understanding the word and the word of the season as well. So the message today is a message that transcends time. It is a message that has been for decades and ages in the ancient of days, and has come this far and it's still going. And I pray that your word will be received with gladness, love, Lord, by the people this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the mothers. As I speak on behalf of the mothers, Lord, I pray that the fathers, the uncles, the sons will receive this and understand the principles of the word for today. Lord, I bring this before you in the name of Yeshua, I pray. And everybody said, Amen, including everybody else in the room. Say, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today is Mother's Day. Many families around the world will be celebrating their mothers, thanking them for all the hard work the mothers have done in their families. Hallelujah. And truly, it is hard work. I really loved what Pastor Judith brought in her own words, in her own heart, to all the mothers today, representing all the mothers today, speaking on the mother's behalf. And it is hard work. Carrying you for 9 months, my friends, giving birth to you, sometimes without anesthetic, hallelujah. Night and day, countless nights and day of looking after you, nurturing you, making sure that you have everything you need to grow up to become who you are today. Caring for you, sleepless nights when you are sick. And you mothers and fathers and sons know that. And I've seen it with my own mother, and now I'm seeing it with my own wife and my own sisters. And I take my hats off to you women. You are one of the strongest species of human that God created. We men think we were tough, but carrying a baby for 9 months and giving birth without any help of any painkillers at all, man, I need an oxygen for that. But I take my hat off, and my heart goes out to every mother this morning as you celebrate Mother's Day today. And on top of that, all that, still managing the household, because there are still other children to look after, including the husband, is another one of the kids involved in this. Hallelujah. And I'm putting myself in the picture. So all the husbands, stop giving me silly faces. And the holy wives and the mothers say, Amen. Man, I'm talking about your wives and your mothers this morning. I'm not talking about a superhuman or a robot. I'm talking about the mother of your children. I'm talking about your mother. I'm talking about your sisters. I'm talking about all the amazing women that God has given you to move with you, to co-dominate with you, to coexist with you in this world. You're not alone in this walk. As I watch my wife and the mother of my children run the house, the Hakalitz household, I thank God for her. What a true champion. What a gift from God. She is truly every word that comes from the word of God in Proverbs 31. She's above, far above any rubies for me. And I thank God for someone like that. Because God knew a good woman is needed in my life to keep me in line, to make sure that I take care of all my responsibilities. And what are my responsibilities? As the father of the house. She keeps reminding me every day, you are the father of the house. You're the foundation of this house. And that doesn't take anything off her. She's not above me or I am not above her. We are equal. She was created to co-dominate with me. We coexist together to move a foundation unit called family that God is so concerned about before anything else. Before church, God honors family. And by that, I mean she keeps me in line by making sure that I know my responsibility as the father of the house. Amen. Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31. It's an amazing scripture, and Pastor Johnny just sang that. The whole scripture was saying to you this morning. But I just want to pick a few principles that I find that really represents our mothers today, our grandmothers, our sisters, and all our beloved female species of this world. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31, and you can read it at your own leisure time, it talks about the great qualities of women. Many of them will relate to those great qualities of your own mother. You will relate to that. As I go through this scripture, in the portions of it, you can relate that to your wife and your mothers. Proverbs 31 talks about that. I just wanted to pick out some wonderful principles from this scripture that really covers everything about our women. And all the fathers said, amen, hallelujah. High-fiving each other in the lounge room today. Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 12 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A woman, my friends, is a blessing. Yes, she's a blessing to her husband, a blessing to the family unit. Verse 15 to 17 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. Her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. She is a protective. This covers everything about a mother. She's protective, like a hen is protective over her chicks or the eggs that she's putting out. That's the character of a mother. Amazing. Hallelujah. She protects her household, nurturing and hardworking. That's what really is. Verse 18 to 20 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. This is a woman that cares not just for herself or for her family, but for everybody. Hallelujah. What a quality. I'm talking about your mothers and your sisters today and your wives. She is a blessing, not just to her own family, but also a great blessing to the community and a good manager of money. Huh. My wife's the best manager of money. I never manage money in my own house. I'm bad with managing money. So my wife is the best manager. Why? Because it's a gift. And as long as she's managing it, I'm happy because everything is taken care of. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24 says, she makes linen and garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. That shows that she is mindful of caring for herself too. Not just for herself, but for others. She's mindful of how she dresses. She's good with her hands. In other words, she's polished in appearance and skilled in craft. I'm talking about your wives this morning and your mothers this morning and your sisters this morning. These are the characters of them. God sees everything that is in His Word today. That's about your mother and your wives. Finally, in verse 25 to 31, it says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Hallelujah. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's no laziness there, my friends. Her children rise up and have called her blessed. Her husband also, and he praised her. Many daughters have done well, but you have excelled all. Hallelujah. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's the key. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. Verse 31 says, give her all the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, the old universe, people praise a woman like that. And that's a quality of your mothers, your wives, and your sisters today. She is faithful. She is faithful to God. God-fearing, clothed means, clothed in inner beauty. Clothing means a spiritual covering or a spiritual worthiness. Verse 25 speaks of a spiritual attire. She clothes with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She understands the importance of living life. That's your mother. With courage and virtue. And wears these qualities in the way she carries herself and interacts with others. What a great quality. While she has the fine linen, its strength and dignity that her most beautiful garments. Garments and clothes speaks of a spiritual life. It's important that we understand that. Hallelujah. Now, this is about your mother. This is about your wife. This is about your daughters. Some of you are going to become mothers-to-be. Some of you are going to get married. Now I'm going to talk to the fathers. I told you I was going to talk to the fathers this morning. It's Mother's Day, but it's proper for me to speak to the fathers and speak to the sons, because I'm here representing the mothers today. And all the mothers, I can see you high-fiving each other in the lunchroom this morning. Hallelujah. At last, somebody is speaking on our behalf. Well, God is speaking on your behalf. I am just the voice of God talking on behalf of all our mothers this morning and all our wives this morning. Hallelujah. First, let me tell you this. This scripture should never be used as a checklist of attributes to which you criticize a woman. Somebody say amen to that. Using a proverb in this way to condemn women cuts against the meaning and the context of the proverb. When interpreting this scripture, it is important to remember that our Lord is a God of hope who wants the best for His children, who He created, both man and woman. So this scripture should never be a list of things that you think that your wife or your mother should be. Hallelujah. Everybody is different. God created everybody different. God honors women. He chose a woman to bring His only begotten Son into this world without the help of a father. A miracle on its own. God chooses women in this book. Every time you read this book, it speaks of some great women that came and that they were born to fulfill the purpose, the will, and the intent of God Almighty on this earth. Women are here to serve with men, coexist and co-dominate. I keep saying that. God honors women. He created women for a purpose. And if you don't know that purpose, then you will abuse the woman that you're with this morning. You must understand the purpose of the woman. I love Jesus because Jesus never speaks on the problem. He doesn't address the problem. He goes back to the foundation. He goes, what does the foundation say? What does it say? What did my father say? Because the Bible says He doesn't say anything unless He hears from the Father. That's why I love the way He talks to the Pharisees every time He corrects them about certain things. He created women for a purpose, and if you don't know that, you will abuse them. This scripture should be viewed in the context within which it was written. So why was it written? It was written to celebrate the blessings of the women in our lives who work hard, long, abundant hours, and serve as role models with so much principle and integrity. That's scripture must be used to praise your wife and your husband. Oh, sorry, your wife and your daughters and your mothers. Never to use as a checklist for some attributes that you're dreaming about. God doesn't give you a scripture to bring little, to scrutinize people. So never use that scripture for that. Our mothers, our wives, and our daughters are the ones that are we celebrating this morning. It was written to advise men on how to appreciate women in their lives. You want to appreciate your wife and your mother and your daughters? Go and read this scripture and pray this scripture over them. Pray it over their lives. I truly appreciate the single mothers. And as my wife already said, Pastor Judith already said, single mothers have it hard. They're doing it tough today. And if you're a single mother this morning, today, I also take my hat off to you. I also honor you. I take my hat off to you because it is not an easy job. Just from watching my wife and my mother, I can understand the toughness of the job that you're going through. Those of you, as already my wife said, Pastor Judith said, that those of you that cannot bear children, they are women, they are daughters and their sons that are looking for mothers like yourselves, that have all the qualities that I've just gone through in the Word of God. They're looking for that. There are women, there's kids all over the world looking for you. If you're sitting there today wishing that, then God is hearing your heart cries, ask cry this morning. And there are babies, there are kids looking for a family foundation so that you can become the amazing mother to them. Proverbs chapter 24, and I'm going to speak about family now. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5. Listen to this. It's very important for us. It's principle. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is what? Established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. This verse talks about building a successful, strong family. That's a verse that talks about that. This scripture mentions three important principles or keys. Number one, wisdom. Number two, understanding. Number three, knowledge. This scripture never mentions love, my friends. Love's got nothing to do with a successful family. The principles of the Word of God. I remember speaking to this a few months back, about the true agape love of God. Loving people with the love of God. The love that the world teaches you is not the love from God. So love has got nothing to do with a strong, stable family. People fall in love and fall out of love like that. Nobody stays in love forever. So love's got nothing to do with this. Listen to me, my friends. The world based everything on love, sex. They think that this is what will keep a marriage together. Sex and love don't keep marriage together. There's divorces happening all over the world because people think a sex is a glue that holds the love together. It doesn't. That's the enemy. That's the devil teaches you that. And the unfortunate thing is that us as Christians, we fall into this trap thinking that if that's how it's going to be done, then I think it is the way it should be. My friends, ignorance is a dangerous thing. That's why the principles of the Word of God has to be taught and clearly brought to you so that you can understand. God brought principles so that we can walk and abide by it. When you read the Bible, read it in concepts and principles. And it will always guide you every time. And the key thing is that you need to put it into practice. Some of you who are watching right now have experienced this problem. You're divorced. Your husband's walked away from you. And I'm not saying that in a way to condemn anybody. I'm just saying that this is a real life experience that you're going through right now. I've got the answer right here. It's in this book. Hallelujah. There's no rocket science. It's here. This book is spirit. It's got everything about it that will correct your life, your family, and the direction that God has purposed for you. Because we don't understand the principles of the Word, we follow everything that the world teaches us. Well, it's time to make some changes. This message, my friends, is for the young people who are trying to get married, who are thinking of getting married, or looking for becoming future fathers and future mothers. But listen to me carefully, and I pray that you receive these in the Spirit. The Bible never tells us to get information. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. It never tells you to get information. It tells you that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, he says, get understanding. Exalt her, verse 8, exalt her and she will what? Promote you. She will promote you, bring you honor, and you embrace her. You can sit in church or in a classroom, some university somewhere, and receive information. But until you understand it and apply wisdom to it, because wisdom is applied knowledge, when you do that, then things start to happen inside your life. You cannot go and do something that you don't understand. If you want to build a strong home, a strong marriage, you need to get understanding. You can sit in a church and hear information, but until you get understanding and apply wisdom to it, it's a waste of time. Wisdom, because wisdom is what? Applied knowledge. If you want to bring a strong family, build a strong family, a strong family foundation, don't go after hugs and sex and kisses and petting and all that stuff. Don't, Bible said, don't go after that. He said, what? Go after understanding. Go after wisdom. Go after what God really purposed for what a marriage foundation or a family foundation is all about. Don't get married because you just want to get married. Get understanding about it first. Why? Because a family unit brings out the qualities of the mother. A family unit brings out the qualities of a father. And it's important for us to understand that. God says, go after information, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and you will have a house full of precious treasures. Don't go after love, sex, petting, and all this other stuff that the world is doing now, and the TV is teaching you about it. The television and all the movies and Netflix, all teaching you about it, and your minds are starting to move around and go, maybe that's how we do things. No, it's not. Go back to the foundation of what God is saying about the strong family. I'm talking on the behalf of mothers this morning, and all the fathers should be saying, amen, 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 amen. And all the mothers should be high-fiving each other right now. We live in a different set of laws. We are supposed to live by the standards of the kingdom. Being a salt and a light does not just mean to preserve and shine light on the darkness. Being a salt and light means to live the standard that the kingdom expects you to live. Raise your standard up and live a standard of the kingdom. That's being salt and the light is all about. It's not about preserving something only. It's about raising your standard and living it above the standard of the world. The kingdom standard is higher than the standards of the world. So live like that. That's really what it is. It means living by the laws of the kingdom and raising the standards. Our standards must be what? Higher than the world's standard, which means that we don't just divorce anybody for any reason. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Having said this, let me just clarify this. And I love what Jesus said. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks, my goodness, he talks in principles. Listen to what he said. When the Pharisees were trying to test him and a question based on their law. Imagine that. And we're still doing that. The world is still doing that, questioning God. The world is doing that, trying to outthink God, trying to outsmart God. You cannot outthink and outsmart God, my friends. And they were doing that at the day. And we'll still learn. We haven't learned our lesson yet, my friends. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to 5. The conversation he was having with the Pharisees. They're trying to get him on one of their laws. Our ignorance, you see, my friends, ignorance is a very dangerous thing. And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them what? Male and female. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Listen to this conversation. Verse 6. So they got up now. This is the Pharisees. So they, and verse 6 says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. That means your government cannot sanctify marriage. Your government has no right to sanction. Your government has no right to sanction the laws, the principles of marriage or family. The government doesn't look after you or your family. God does, because that's the only institution, the oldest institution that he purposed on earth was family. Even before church, family was the foundation. All the mothers say, amen. Because marriage is created by God And so human beings should not destroy it. One thing that you should never touch is marriage and family. You can touch everything else, but when it comes to marriage and family, God is committed to marriage and family, and he's serious about it. Jesus doesn't get into the exceptions of divorce and first. Listen to this. He doesn't get into all this other argument about scripture. He goes back to the principles. Instead, he begins with God's design and plan for marriage. He goes back to the foundation. He said, if you want to fix this problem now, go back to the foundation and see what the foundation says. Because my father says something totally different from what you are telling me. Bible says he only does what the Father tells him to do. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. He only does what Jesus tells him to do. Hallelujah. Verse 7. They said to him, this is the Pharisees now. And why, they say, why then did Moses command to give her certificate of divorce and send her away? The Pharisees quoted one of the laws or one of the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 to 4. To Jesus, they quote the word to the word. They're trying to outsmart the word. And they view this statement. Their problem is they view this statement as a command. God hates divorce. God never said he loved divorce. In other words, they're trying to tell Jesus what the Father said. Were they hearing from Jesus, from the Father, or was Jesus hearing from the Father? They're talking to the Word about the Word. Jesus said, verse 8, he said to them, because of your hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it has not been this way. In other words, the kingdom principles or my kingdom does not permit this. But because the hardness of your heart, your unbelief, and your rebellion, Moses permitted for you to have divorce. Permit means to give what? Concession. It is totally different from the word command. Command and permit is a totally two different things altogether. God hates divorce. Did God command divorce? Not at all. God hates divorce. He says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel says that he, what? Hates divorce. This is why Jesus called his law a concession. Not a command. That is a concession. Because of the hardness of man's heart, they were allowed to do that. But in the kingdom of God, that was never permitted in the first place. I love Jesus' words. Do not commit adultery. Do not do this. Do not do that. You have heard that you can do that, but in the kingdom, you cannot. You draw the line right there. The oldest institute or institution on earth, older than the government of the day, which means the government should not touch marriage. God never started a church. God started a family in the Garden of Eden. God is serious about family because the family is the cure for all our social problems. It is very true. That is the biggest common denominator. Family is the biggest common denominator to problems right now. Whether it's psychological problems, emotional, or spiritual, Satan knows that to get the society, or to attack a country, or to destroy a nation, first it needs to destroy the family foundation. As long as Satan can touch the family, then there is no hope for the nation. That is a fact, my friends. That is why the government is influenced by Satan as redefine the family, redefine marriage. Government has no right to redefine something that doesn't belong to them. God owns family. The success of a healthy nation depends on a healthy family. A small family is like a small society. So you bring a small family, a group of families together, it creates a community. And when you get a whole community together, it creates a society and it becomes a nation. A success of a nation or a society depends on the healthiness of a small unit family. That's why mothers and fathers are very important role inside family unit. Almighty God will take care of everything. Let's do the small things. The church, who is supposed to be the ones bringing this into the clear, we need to talk about these things. Because our marriage and our family unit is being redefined by the government. The success of a healthy nation relies on a family. My friends, that is a mother and a father. Tom and Mary. Not Tom and Jerry. Tom and Mary. A mother and a father. A male, female and a male. Amen. That's, I said it. And I'm saying it, and I'll keep on saying it. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom principles is exactly that. Hallelujah. That message is for you young men and young women who are thinking of getting married and becoming a mother and a father this morning. The success of a healthy nation depends on you. And you need to stand up and do the right thing by following the principles of God. You see, if you want to change something, start from the small things. You don't try and go and change the world right there. You change it from the bottom up by going to the principles and you yourself living the principles of the Word of God. If you can change the whole world, change starts from you. You start your change in your family first before you think about the whole world. How can you go out and change the world when you can't even change and manage your own family? Very important for us to understand. And all the fathers said, amen, hallelujah, pastor, preach it. Family is God's ultimate solution to society's problems. A family is a small society, and I said it already. To find all the problems of the world, go back and check the family. Somebody should be listening to this night now. You psychologists and all those other doctors, listen to this. This is the word of God being preached this morning. Get the principles right. Crime, robbery, rape, incest in the family, wife abuse, husband abuse, domestic violence, depression, all these things come from family. It starts from family. You want to fix the world? Fix the family. You want to fix the society, the nation? Fix the family. Family unit is so important to God first before anything else. Even church too, my friends. Your family is important to than church. Focus on your family. Make sure your family unit is strong before you go out and preach the gospel and preach to the people. Because people will look back and say, hang on a minute, why is he preaching the gospel? And his family is all in disarray. This is time, my friends, to bring the principles of God into order so that the church can start walking in order. Because we have walked out of order from all this time to now. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5, it says, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Don't just get married. Don't go thinking to get married. Get all this wisdom and understanding and all the precious Word of God that has been given, the principles. Get it first before you go and get married. Don't go and get married and then start finding all these problems propping up because the foundation is not right. I am talking to the young mothers this morning. I am talking to a young daughter or a boyfriend or a girlfriend listening today. I am talking to you. This is the word of God to you this morning. I pray that you receive this in the spirit. And this is not just some kind of a nice message sermon to bring to you on Mother's Day. I am not about bringing nice messages to people anymore. I am about bringing instructions and bringing the principles of the Word of God so that we can all walk in it. The moment you walk in the principles of God, something starts to happen. The power in the Word of God starts to kick in. It doesn't kick in until you walk in the principles of it. And quoting scriptures out of context and misusing scripture doesn't ignite the power of God in His Word. That's why false religions start, because people think they know everything. That's why cult started up, because people think they know everything. Hallelujah. It's very important. We're in this age now that it's very important for us as family. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God must operate. The kingdom of God must rise up. The kingdom of God becomes a real thing to people who are looking for answers to the problems of this world today. Doesn't matter how old you are, 18, 35, whatever. If you're in the marriage age, if you don't have wisdom, then don't get married. Ignorance is a dangerous thing, my friends. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. Don't just go and get married. It is very important for us to understand. We want to start correcting the wrongs, the fault that has been happening in the foundation or the church, then start from there. Hallelujah. Get those things. No matter how old you are, ready for marriage, you are not ready. Oh, I'm 35 years and I'm about, you are not ready until you get some wisdom, understanding from the Word of God. Ignorance is very dangerous. And you will, if you continue to live in ignorance, you will transfer ignorance to the generation after that. Listen to me. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, this is a powerful statement. God says, my people are destroyed, not because of the devil, not because of anything else. He didn't say the devil made me do. No, it didn't say that. It says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. Because you have rejected knowledge. Listen to this. Because you have rejected knowledge. You've rejected this. He says, I will reject you from being a priest unto me. Don't go preach the gospel when you don't live in knowledge and understanding. Living in ignorance will disqualify you to become a priest unto God. How can you give advice to somebody when you've just gone through 10 divorces? How can a we pay high paid people who are living in 2-3 divorces to go and try and fix our divorce. And the Word of God is there for us to go through. And then he says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I, he says, will also forget, not you, my friends, your children. Ignorance will be transferred to generations. You may not reap what you're sowing today, but your children and your children's children will reap everything that you've sowed today. Very important for us to understand. That is principle. God says, because you have forgotten the law of the God, of your God, he says, I will also forget your children. God, listen to me, my friend. God is committed to his word. He's committed to judge sin. He's committed to judge every wrong. He's committed to it, and he will do it. And his word has gone forth already, and it will accomplish everything that it has been fulfilled. If he says that, my friends, let's get some knowledge. Let's get some wisdom. Let's get some understanding. Fathers, mothers, fathers and sons, listen to this message this morning. Then you can become a blessing to your mother today because, and your wives today, because that is what their day is all about. They're listening to you today. Quietly they're saying, thank you, Pastor. Preach it again. I know that. Generation curses happen when we don't follow principles of the Word of God. And you may not suffer from it now, but it'll come to your children. I talk to to my boys every time. I said, listen, son, you may think that you are doing right now, but your children's children, think about them. They're the ones that are going to suffer the consequences of your stupidity on what you're doing right now. Hallelujah. If we truly want to see changes in family, in community, and in the church, then we must put God's principles into its proper working order. Why? Because God is a God of order. Everything starts God operates when everything is in order. He will not move until things are in order. He is a God of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Jeremiah 1:12 says, for I am watching over my word to accomplish it. Everything that we say, that we do, we read, what we say, is watching over it to fulfill it. He's watching over you to fulfill the vision and the purpose that he's given you. He's committed to it. Hallelujah. He says he will watch over his word to fulfill it. God is committed to his word. It doesn't get fulfilled when it has been misused or taken out of context. That's what I've said before. Therefore, anything we do, we must do in order. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. There's no cutting corners in obedience. Obedience is obedience. You obey or you disobey. There is no cutting corner or shortcuts to be a person that is a person of obedience. Hallelujah. Take a deep breath. Everybody still with me? Okay. It's Mother's Day. And what better time to address the fathers, right? I've addressed family. I'm going to address the fathers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let me just read that again, because a lot of husbands think, oh, they're the head. For the husband is the head of the wife. Listen, my friends, head doesn't mean boss. Head means responsibility. When you want to become a father of the house, or a man in the house, then have some responsibility. That's what head is all about. Christ is responsible for his church, just as the husband is responsible for his wife and his children and his family. Very important statement. Head does not mean you become big head, now I'm the boss and you do this. There is no such thing as your wife being lower than you or husband higher than the wife. You're both equal. Your gifts are different. But when you bring your gifts together, it completes everything that God purposed for family unit. Hallelujah. I watch my wife all the time and I say, thank God, thank you. Thank you that you found someone that you gave somebody to me that can function in a gift and both of us can work together on equal level to bring forth your purpose for family. A healthy, strong family foundation. Verse 24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Hallelujah. All the wives said, amen. Husbands, your wife was created not to be a slave. They weren't created to be anything except to co-dominate with you. They dominate with you. Both of you were created as humans to dominate. God says, let them have what? Dominion over planet Earth. That means not just a man, it means a woman too. Both of you come together as a unit to dominate together, playing different roles in the family. God created and designed women not to give instructions. Oh, all the women say, what? God created women to give commands. Now they say, amen, Pastor, I thought I was going to. God never created women to get instructions. Where did the first instruction came from? Came from God to Adam. God never gave instructions to Eve. He gave it to Adam. Go back to the principles. Understand, God never changes anything. It doesn't mean Adam is stronger than Eve and man is stronger than... No, it doesn't mean that. It means responsibilities and specific roles that you play together to bring a family. God is concerned about family. Women were created not to give instructions. You men are responsible for instructions. Where do you get your instructions? You receive it from God through the Word of God. Get instructions, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. Receive from God and then instruct your wife about it so that your wife becomes the commander of the house and gives command to your children. My mother, when she barks orders, everyone stands to attention. Because if we don't, there's a big whooping coming behind that command. My mom said, Ben, go down to the shops and get a packet of sugar. Ben, wash the dishes. Ben, go in and have a bath and have a shower. You're dirty. Ben, do this, do that. And every time I hear my mother's voice, I don't hear my mother's voice. I hear my father's authority because at the end of the command, she gives a warning. Wait till your dad comes home. I know that the command went there with a warning at the end. She says, that's fine. You wait till your dad comes. I've given out the instructions, not all commands, all right? But the warning is this, that wait till he comes home then, all of you. And I tell you what, that sends shivers up my spine every time when she mentions my dad, wait till your dad comes home. Just that sentence, man, every one of us are up and doing things in the house. That's a woman giving command from the instructions from the father. That's a principle. It's set in place. And it's similar to what God wants for his church. God gave instructions to the man first in the garden. That means husband must find himself in the presence of God, just like Adam did. He walked and talked with God and got all the instructions and named all the animals and did everything. He didn't go looking for a wife, my friends. He was looking to function in his gift and purpose, that why he was created. He was doing that. God says, don't worry about that. I'll bring Eve to you. I'll bring your wife to you. And he did. In the garden, in the presence of God. So don't go, you young men and women, don't go finding somebody from nightclub and try and drag him into church. Find him in the presence of God, in the house of God. Hallelujah. That's the principle right there. Husbands, get instructions from God and deliver it to the family. Mothers are the ones that give the command. The mother as the father's authority. The wife as the husband's authority. The same as the bride of Christ, church, as God the Father's authority. Hallelujah. The principle is this. As the bride of Christ, the church as the Father's instruction, authority and power to speak and act boldly. You ever hear your mother speak boldly? And you're thinking, man, why is she talking boldly? Because she's got the law behind her. The father is with the stick. So when the mom says something, everybody got to do something. There's so much power when the mother gives the command. I see it in my own family. I talk and my kids laugh at me because they think, you know, I'm their friend. But the mother is the one. As soon as Judith picks up the stick, man, they're already crying. I'm talking and they say, come on, Dad. They're my friends. You know, the homeschool started. And I said, oh, great, your mother's going to be your principal. And your mother's going to be your teacher. And I'm the principal. So everybody must listen to the principal. You know what they said to me? Dad, you're not principal. You're friendsipal. Friends. The mom's the teacher, but you are just a friend. Hallelujah. I have a great relationship with my boys. Because I understand that there are times when I have to love them, understand them, walk with them, and be easy with them. And they've been great. Hallelujah. And I know that you are doing the same with your children as well. Love them. Bring them up in the things of God. Amen. The bride of Christ is empowered to declare all things. I bind you. It's not an instruction. It's a command. I lose you. It's not an instruction. It's a command. In the name of Jesus, that's not an instruction. That's a command. The church has been given the power to do that. Come out of him. That's not an instruction. That's a command. God gave us the command, the authority to be able to do that with boldness. That's the role of the mother. Hallelujah. The church binds, loses, heals, deliver, not as a teaching, but as commands and command from authority above. Our husband, Jesus Christ. The husband of this church is Jesus Christ. He is the husband. He's coming back for that bride without spot and blemish. Hallelujah. Let me just close and summarize this message this morning. Paul laid down some principles. Paul lays down the principles concerning Christ and his bride and husband and his wife. And here's a statement from Paul, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's why I said love doesn't play. Sometimes loving people with the love of the world doesn't work. But loving people with the love of God. The reason why we do church is because we love people. You cannot do what the church is doing unless you love people. And you can only do it when God gives you that love, that true love that only comes from God to be able to do that. Listen, as a pastor, I am not married to my church. I'm married to my wife. My wife, her name is Judith Hakalitz. I'm married. I am not married to the church. I'm not married to this church. I'm married to her. The woman that I oversee, that you call the assembly of believers, that is not my wife. That's Christ's wife. The women that I oversee here, the church, that's not my wife. That's Christ Jesus. That belongs to Christ Jesus. That's his wife. My wife, I am married to Judith. That's my wife. Some pastors are destroying their wives and children because they are spending all their time and energy trying to do what only Christ can do. Listen to me. Ultimately, at the end of this, who meets the church needs? Not me. Who meets your physical needs? Who needs your spiritual needs? Who needs your emotional needs? Who meets that? Not me. Christ does. Christ is your husband. The church is the bride. He looks after that. We pastors must remember this. We must become fathers of our children and husbands to our wife before even ministry. The rules have always been the same. God, family, ministry last. Ministry is always last in God's line of order. Him first, your relationship, personal connection with God, him first, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Then family is second, Your wife, your husband, second. Your children, second. And then your job. And then your ministry, whatever you want to call it. That's last. We are spending so much time trying to do what Christ can do. We can't do His job. All you and I can do is do our job. And He does everything else. Hallelujah. That's why praying is a powerful tool. Because you pray and you connect to God. You say, God, I can't do all that stuff. You can do it. And He's been doing it. So my job is easier because I've allowed Christ to do it. I get more time to spend with my children and my family. And He takes care of all that. I told Him, I said, I can't run the church. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know if I'm going to have time to do it. He says, don't worry. I'll take care of it. You just focus on the small things. I'll do the big things. God will take care of the big things. We just start with the small ones. That's what I'm saying. To fix a huge problem, go and fix the small ones. I'm a boilermaker by trade. When they send me to check a crack or something in a machine or something, it only starts with a small thing. You'll be trying to fix everything else, but the small crack, when you fix that crack, then everything is fixed. Hallelujah. We've all made that mistake of trying to do what Christ can do, trying to do what the Holy Spirit can do, try to do things that He can do and try to do His job. That's why God, I always say God wants to change the world and touch the world, but men are always in His way, always. We are always in God's way. It's time for us to move out of the way so that He can reach the world. Hallelujah. Prayer. And the Holy Spirit is there for us to connect to so that He can do His work and we do ours. We take care of the small things, He does the big things. Finally, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and care for your children as the Heavenly Father cares for you. That's my message this morning to you, my friends. Families, all the mothers, like I said, I'm speaking on behalf of all the mothers. Ephesians chapter 6, finally. This is to the children now. And I'll finish with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 3, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? So that you can have long life. That it says that it may be well with you and you may live long on this earth that God has purposed for you. God is a simple God. God is not a complicated God. We make Him so complicated. We do complicated things and make it so complicated. He's simple. He said, look, honor this command with a promise. There's a promise that comes with it. Whatever you sow today, you shall reap. If you sow the good things, if you honor your mother and your father, then your children, and everything that you desire from God will come. You will live long life. That's a powerful statement. You will live long life. Hallelujah. Try this morning, children. Honor your mother and your father. And I'm going to ask you this morning, all your children and all the fathers, to lay hands on your mother this morning as you're sitting inside your lounge room this morning. Wherever you are today, I want you to lay hands on your mother or your grandmother or your sister. All the men, all the male in the family, I want you to do that this morning. Lands on all the women in our family, and we're going to pray for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this very simple prayer, because I know that your word has already gone forth to the people. And Father, as all the men and all the boys and all the husbands and all the uncles and all the brothers, and as they lay hands on the mothers and the grandmothers this morning, Father, I pray and I release, oh God, your anointing, the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, in this very moment, through this live stream, Lord, power into that wave, that airwave or that electronic wave, and touching the mothers this morning, touching the grandmothers this morning. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon them. I pray, Father, that, Lord, they will, Lord, fulfill every purpose and everything that you have actually ordained for them. Lord, not only that, but by doing that, God, that they shall fulfill every purpose of your will, your intent on this earth. I pray your blessing upon them. Shalom, shalom. nothing missing in their life, nothing broken in their life. Everything has been restored, made all well and complete in their body, in their soul, in their spirit, in their health. Lord, everything that you have bestowed upon them, every blessing, let them be blessed when they go out. Let them be blessed when they come in. 100-fold blessing right now upon the mothers and the grandmothers and the daughters today. I pray and release that right now. And I speak your word, that wonderful prayer that God, you yourself, gave to Moses. And you said, Moses, give it to Aaron so that Aaron can pray over the people. This is a prayer that comes from you, straight from the throne room of God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you, mothers, today. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, peace. That it bypasses all understanding. Lord, today, may there be comfort in your spirit, comfort in your house, comfort in everything that you do. May you be blessed abundantly for all the days of your life. I pray in Yeshua's mighty name, and all the fathers and the brothers and uncles and nieces, nephews said, Amen.